Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to bridging the gap between adventure and adventurer by helping people select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Summer is when a lot of people catch up on their reading at a time when a trashy novel doesn't seem so bad, but it doesn't have to be trashy to be enjoyable. And later in the program, Sally Brewster from Park Road Books gives us some suggestions for summer reading. Perhaps your reading might include some Shakespeare. Try this on for size. To host or not to host? That is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous opposition to hosting the Republican National Convention in 2020, or to take a stand against that sea of troubles and, by opposing, take the money and run. My apologies to the Bard. Not many cities expressed an interest in the GOP's 2020 outing, but Charlotte did. Our Democratic mayor put on the full court press. Since throwing our hat in the ring, we have discovered only one other city seems to be in the running, Las Vegas, and that is a private bid. The city out there is not officially involved. It is now strongly rumored that Republicans want to come here, but in recent days, opposition to that has surfaced. Apparently, this is ours to win or lose, but we have to give our answers soon, and City Council will vote on Monday on entering into an agreement with the local sponsoring committee, the Republican Party, and the government. So who knows what may happen between now and then. But here to talk about the wisdom of hosting or not hosting this convention are two members of Charlotte City Council. Democrat Braxton Winston was among the first, if not the first, to say, whoa, let's talk about this. And he is here with Republican Councilman Tariq Bakari. Welcome back to both of you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
So nice to be here, Mike.
Thank you very much. He always does his radio voice, Tariq does, when he's here. Braxton, let me start with you because you're the guy who's stirring the pot a little bit here. The possibility of Charlotte hosting the 2020 Republican convention has been floating around for a while, but opposition to it just now seems to be surfacing, and I think your opposition or your admonition to wait, let's talk about this, came out about a week or two ago. Why so late? Why now?
Well, was trying to go along with the process, to be completely honest. Trying to have faith in the processes that were going along. This was first presented, I think, in December, right after we were sworn in, when the mayor asked, should we put this bid in? And I said, yes, we should put this bid in. I don't really want it here, but this is an opportunity to potentially bring jobs to Charlotte, and as it would be irresponsible of me to say no to those jobs for people like myself.
So why now say slow down? It looks like we're going to get it, so why say, whoa, let's talk about this?
Well, always wanted public discussion with this.
We didn't have any?
We weren't. I didn't feel like we were having much discussion internally as well. There were questions that I had throughout this process that never got answered. I found myself knee-deep in the budget for 2 months, and then the business meeting after the budget, we said, basically, this is a finalized deal, and there's nothing more to say. That's when I said, whoa. We should have a discussion about this. Always wanted to bring this out into the public, and if we're asking Charlotte to host this, I feel like we should ask our hosts how they feel about bringing people into their home.
So you put out a video on Facebook in which you said you'd been hearing from your constituents who told you that the values of the Republican Party, and this is a quote, do not represent the spoken priorities of this city, which include affordable housing, investment in transportation infrastructure, and sustainable and green policies.
Mm-hmm.
They're not focused on that?
No, especially this president's values. Let me clear.
But he's talked about infrastructure.
He's talked about it, but he's proposing flipping the federal funding. It traditionally goes 80% from federal funding versus 20% for spending on infrastructure projects. He wants to flip that to put the 80% burden on the city and the local, and only 20% from that. That will make building things like roads and rail lines nearly impossible. When we talk about affordable housing, the most powerful tool in getting projects done are the low-income housing tax credits. This tax bill that was just passed severely decreases the value of those tax credits and makes it harder for those tools to be wielded. So he has specifically enacted policies that work against the stated goals of this city.
But going up against policies is normal. I mean, Democrats don't agree with Republicans and vice versa. That's nothing new. You're talking about these being against the values. Are these policies anti- are they immoral?
Well, I think they are definitely immoral. There are definitely immoral policies that this administration is holding up. We look at the immigration debate right now. We had a sheriff's election that just happened, which basically wielded on this 287G policy and the overall arching arc of immigration policy, that this administration, the way it's going about it, does not share the values of this city.
So fellow council member LaWanna Mayfield and one other council member whose name is skipping my mind at the moment.
Justin Harlow.
Thank you. Justin Harlow have said they will vote no on this. Were you the first to raise the flag on this, or are you just among several people who were against this?
We've had questions amongst ourselves. I know LaWanna has been adamant against this from day one. There are questions that have been raised in closed session that we've had discussion about this that really haven't been answered. I think I might have been the first one to call for a public discussion and debate around this. I don't think that's so much stirring apart the pot as much it is responsible representative government.
So in that Facebook post, you asked constituents to get in touch with you and share their views on this. What have you heard?
Oh, I've heard everything from all across the spectrum. Of course, you have people on extremes that have their kind of the views that you would expect them to have. But I've had very thoughtful responses from people on all sides. I've had conservative Republicans that say they don't want this here. I've had liberal Democrats that say bring it here for some for a bipartisanship basis, some on the money and the tax benefits and the wages that will bring. Some people just want to face this administration face to face. So it's all over. People are having a spirited discussion. I'm starting to hear more from organizations giving stances on this decision.
Are they moving you in one direction or another? You don't have to tell me what that direction is, but are they moving you in one direction or another?
They're keeping me up at night. I'm thinking about this a lot. Okay. I think this is an important decision, and I'm taking the deliberations very seriously.
I don't think Tariq Bakari has been this quiet for so long, ever.
It's taken everything I have, Mike.
But he is here, and he's a Republican. What are you hearing about this from your constituents?
It's funny because the social media world, you know, we were joking about the whole Buckley Vidal thing and how the theme of that was how television has changed the political debate. Well, social media has certainly changed the political debate, and we'll look back 50 years from now like that was 50 years ago on today and wonder right around this time how things change. So I think one of the things about social media is with your network and who you're surrounded by, you hear a lot of those messages. So when I drop over to Braxton's page, for example, on various topics, but this one included, I see a lot of people very angry this is even a possibility. Mm-hmm. But when I look at mine or a couple others that are like, you know, local GOP related, everyone is angry that this is even a topic. So, you know, one of the things I did was I looked at the some of the stats just on social media with some of the aggregation tools that are out there. And from the day Braxton posted that video, which really, I like to joke, broke the internet around here, up until the very end of last week, Sunday, there were 31% negative comments on all social media platforms, 15% positive, and 54% were deemed neutral. So that may surprise people to know that the positive and neutral far outweighed the negative. Now, these systems aren't perfect, and they use algorithms to be able to determine it, but it's one data point to be able to look at and essentially say, you know, this is not just a foregone conclusion that just because our city is a majority progressive or Democrat means that everyone feels the same way about each issue. And the one thing I hate about this is I vowed to try to almost never talk about national level politics because local is hard enough as it is, right. But we can come together there. So we've kind of forced to, you know, fuse local and national politics with this conversation.
I think there was a letter to the editor in the paper this morning. I'm not sure where I read this comment or who said it, so I apologize for that. But somebody said if this had been a convention that was going to feature Bush or Romney.
I think Braxton says that about three times a day.
Okay, well, this would not have been an issue, but because it features the current president and the current administration and some of the policies that they have put forth and some of the things that they have done, including separating children at the border from their parents, makes this unsavory. Does that surprise you?
It doesn't surprise me that it's being said. What surprises me is that people's perception, and again, I think the answer is somewhere in the middle. There's a lot of people that love Trump and he can do no wrong. And there's a lot of people that hate Trump and he can do no right. Somewhere in the middle, that's where I like to find myself, is do I love every tweet that comes out? No, I don't. But I like the fact that he's being a little non-PC. Do I like every comment he makes? No. But, you know, did I like every Nas song released in the mid and late 90s? No. But is Nas my favorite rapper? Yes, he is. So what I'm saying is we can dislike certain things that are being done, but we don't always have to gravitate towards the edges of this argument. And I think that the broader point here is this is not about one man. A lot of people try to say, well, this is different. This is about economic development opportunities for a city that has confidential processes in order to bring in a business or a convention or whatever it is. And while I agree with Braxton, we should have had an opportunity for maybe some more dialogue amongst the council to get our questions answered. I think that's a super fair point he brings up. This is not something where we can go out and say, hey, do you guys want us to do this? Because what's next? Do we say, hey, do you want us to bring Amazon's distribution center here? You know, that's something where we have to have those discussions at a policy level ahead of time.
I understand, and everybody appreciates your point that there should have been more discussion and that you agree with each other, at least on that aspect of this. But is that a fair comparison, whether we bring Amazon here or not, et cetera, versus this, which the crux of this issue seems to be economic development versus moral values?
Well, I would say no, that that is not an apples to apples discussion, and your favorite rapper versus the man that is supposed to be the leader of the free world is not an apples to apples conversation. When it comes down to this is much bigger than your typical economic development issue. This has a cultural impact on the city. Your typical economic development deal will come through closed session at some point in time to have discussion. It might even come through Economic Development Committee, so questions can be asked. You don't have your mayor flying up and down to Washington, D.C., having discussions that don't come back to full council or the Economic Development Committee.
See, but that's where I disagree. I agree with your premise that sometimes things are bigger or different. Where I disagree is, one, yes, that's exactly what our mayor should be doing, because while we could have had more information, every step of the way, she came back and gave us all a touch point. Did we get to debate? Did we get to look at the data? No, but your point is valid. Some things maybe we don't want, but you cannot have that discussion at a company or a convention level. You have to have it at a policy level, and that's where it gets tricky. What do you say? Right now, nothing Republican, business, convention, party, dog catcher is allowed in our town.
The debate right now is not necessarily just about the Republican Party. This is about Donald Trump. He is a xenophobe. He is a racist. He is a hateful person that is tossing this whole world order upside down. He is making our enemies are friends, and our friends are enemies. I've gone up and down from Capitol Hill down to across the dais with my Republican colleagues, and I've heard head shaking and hand wringing every time this man comes up in private conversation, but they will not talk about it in public. I'm afraid that what the backdrop will be, that this hateful man will have the backdrop of a Southern American city to spew his hate. No other city in the whole country wants
Mike, do you agree with that?
You'll never know. We have to take a break. We'll come back with more of this discussion between Tariq Bakary, the Republican, and Braxton Winston, the Democrat, on City Council in just a moment at Charlotte Talks. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that believe a car is used for more than just getting from place to place. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on Listener Funded, 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're sitting here with the two city council people. One is a Republican, that would be Tariq Bakari. One's Brexton Winston, the Democrat, and he has brought up to the forefront the fact that we maybe ought to talk about whether or not the city wants to host the 2020 RNC convention. We apparently are now officially as it can be, the front runner, and the race has always pretty much been between Charlotte and Las Vegas. The Las Vegas bid for the convention is not an official city bid out there. It is a private bid. Ours is sanctioned by our Democratic mayor, Vi Lyles. We'll talk about her in a second. We've been conducting, as we've been talking here this morning, an informal, very informal poll at WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks. And that poll is currently showing that most people do not support hosting the Republican National Convention to the tune of 73% against.
Shocker, Mike.
Yeah.
Shocker. I thought NPR would have been all in favor of this.
Shocker for Dantum. The couple of comments that have come in as we've been talking. Rachel on Facebook, only one other city wants the RNC, whereas more than eight wanted the DNC. What does that tell you? This is not the way to show inclusivity. You're saying no? What do you mean?
No, I just disagree. I think that this process...
How come no city wants this?
It's not that no city wants it. It's that no city wants to be sitting here in the final hour like we are, having a debate on why some of the city doesn't want it. Many cities want it. Over eight were part of this that expressed interest, but that was the confidential nature of these economic development type deals where they don't go. They tried to make us not talk about it for this very reason. And while that's one of the things I agree with Braxton, we should have a
public
dialogue.
Why do we know about the Democratic cities vying for the Democratic convention?
Because they all are going to top 20 cities, and top 20 cities are a majority Democrats. Who's going to,
I don't think that's correct. There were people there were public lists that came out that people were vying. People dropped out over time as this president got more and more ridiculous in his acts. Look, there's a difference between bipartisanship and normalizing erratic, hurtful, and harmful behavior to this country. And that's why I think you saw many cities drop out.
Seth on Facebook says we should have the RNC here so then we can get the economic benefit and protest them to boot. How about that?
Yes.
That's a reason, another reason why I wanted to have this conversation. I'm honestly for that. I think that the people of Charlotte will stand up to this president and this administration. But I think, again, as a leader, it would be irresponsible of me just to put that on the people of Charlotte without talking to them about this, to say, here,
this is your... In other words, do you want this potential problem here? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, do you want to do this? Do
again,
you want this smoke
but
in,
but we
in,
had
the,
that
in dis- this city?
We had that discussion when the Democratic convention was proposed for Charlotte, that this is going to bring protesters and riots in the streets. And, of course, it didn't happen because not many protesters showed up, first of all, in 2012. But secondly, every police officer in the country was here
right
on the streets of Charlotte. The same thing will happen this time.
Absolutely it will. I still have a problem with the concept that we can debate as a city every single economic development confidential deal we explore. But I think the broader message here for me is, Charlotte has this huge chip on its shoulder. I've said this for 15 years that I've lived here, and that is we want to be a world-class city. We want to be a world-class city, and we want to be inclusive. And then what happens is we try to market ourselves in the best of time. It's easy to, in the best of time, to say we're a world-class city, and you get no traction. It's how you operate in the most challenging of times when the world spotlight is at your door. People are like, this is too much risky, and we don't want to worry about the protests or this or that and the potential violence. I say our police chief has looked us all in the eye and says he can handle it, and I believe he can. We are going to show the world, one, how you make this the most dangerous of potential events secure and safe, and two, you balance free speech. So you become the beacon of how this conversation continues.
Do you worry that if the convention comes here and the protesters come here en masse and the protesters get a little out of hand, that it will put us in a bad light? Because one of the things that people talk about when they talk about bringing football here and paying for stadiums, bringing basketball here and paying for arenas, bringing political conventions here and getting on television every night, is that this will show the city to the world as a great place to be. But if you show the city to the world and there are riots in the streets, not unlike what put you on the map, Tariq,
Braxton.
You look so much alike that I always get you confused.
I'm super tan from the beach.
But anyway, does it concern you that will put us in a bad light? Nobody wants to be seen that
way.
Just
real quick, I'll say one sentence, and then I'd like to hear Braxton's thoughts. It does not concern me.
Okay.
I will not be worried about it. I will be focused on it. I view it as an opportunity, not something I'm going to be shaking in the corner like, I don't know if we should make the decision. Yes, somebody's got to take that on. The federal government has put money so that we can handle it. So let's show the world how we can handle it better than anybody else.
Braxton.
One thing I wanted to go back to real quick. I do not agree that every economic development decision should be debated at open doors. That's not how things get done. But we were in a position of power here where usually you don't do that in open public because the party's going to pull out. That's not the situation here right now on this one. We could have had a kind of a bully pulpit in this negotiation, and I don't feel like we used it.
I
think we should expect that there will be conflicts around this convention. If you look at every other major political convention time during times where our country is in conflict, bad things happen, from extreme violence to massive lockups and arrests. Is that something that we want in this? But some people would say that that's part of the sausage making of the democratic process. I'm confident that our city will be able to handle it. I just don't know if our city wants to handle it. And we get a choice in this matter.
The mayor is from your party. She's a Democrat.
And, she is.
And you're saying to me, essentially, that she's been the spear carrier for this, and she's been the person rolling the ball up the hill on this without a lot of consultation with fellow Democrats or fellow members of City Council?
Well, what I'll say is this, is that I don't have a lot of knowledge about how this bidding process is going, who has been at the table, when those conversations have been had, the asks that were made and the asks that were denied. And that's part of the problem.
She spoke last night at a meeting, I think, of the Democratic Women of Mecklenburg County, and they voted against having the convention here. But she said pretty much what she said in the op-ed piece that she wrote for the Charlotte Observer yesterday, that throughout her career she has focused on the importance of integrity, collaboration, inclusivity, and communication to bring people together for the greater goods. And she went on to say that the current political climate, with its divisive rhetoric and harmful policies, does not represent my values or the values of most Charlottians. So what, with that in mind, what is your reaction to her response to these things to the divisive rhetoric that the president is alleged to have made when she says, if Charlotte is the site for the RNC, we can show that our city is about inclusion and leverage as an opportunity to demonstrate our values of respect while honoring our differences? She glossing this over?
I would say so. Again, I think there's a difference between bipartisanship and normalizing hate. And that's what this president does. I don't think he represents the values of what the Republican Party stand for. I think a lot of Republicans are going along because they see that they can get some things that they want in kind of a reward for holding their nose for the policies that he's enacting. Look, he is destroying the idea of free market economics with his tariff policies. Totally goes against the Republican kind of platform. Republicans traditionally, if you look at history, look towards immigration reform, comprehensive immigration reform, and welcoming our guests into this country. This president has not been about that. So again, like I say, as I'm having conversations with Republican colleagues and other representatives throughout levels of government, they hold their nose, but they won't do that in public. And I, why should we be the ones to glad hand that form of really evil, I think, that this president spews?
What's your response?
I mean, I'll go back to the original question of Vile Isles. I just say that, one, the Democratic women vote last night, while they were against it in the end, it was a close vote. So it wasn't just like a no-brainer, all Democratic women across the city are against this. It was a very close vote. And I think that in itself speaks a lot. I am so proud and really have a lot of respect for the mayor right now. I mean, it is really easy to say things like I'm going to be inclusive and I'm going to stand up for what's best for the city. And then it's a total different thing when your time actually comes. And she is taking some heat.
Were you proud of Mayor Roberts when she stood up for inclusivity with HB2?
Well, I mean, that's a different scenario altogether, because Mayor Roberts, while I love Mayor Roberts as a person to death, right, she was not communicating with her own council. Vi-Lyles has been. She was not paying attention to the general assembly. No, I think Braxton would agree. Despite we could have had more data and more internal debate, Vi has never once taken a trip or had a conversation of significance and not circled up and had a conversation with us. Would you agree or disagree with that?
She has told us that when she's going to Washington, that she's going to Washington.
And when she came back, she explained what she did. When she was thinking about going after this for all of us, not for herself or the GOP, she said, I need to see some head nods now. And again, we are not, while this is your point, you'll make it, I'll make it for you, this is a manager council form of government, not strong mayor. The point here is, we are not in the business of negotiating contracts. That is the manager's job, and it's our job to give some rough head nods, hopefully get some data and some debate in the middle, which maybe we could have done more of, and then when a contract is brought to us, as it will be later this week, to review it and approve or disapprove it. It's for us to say
that this is a bad deal, and we should say it only makes the beginning or the end. That's ridiculous. You should be able to talk about it during negotiations to say, hey, this is something that could get my approval that I'll vote yes on. It shouldn't just that would be a waste of work for people to say here's where you start and you give no guidance throughout the process to get to the end.
But what contract point are you against? What contract point is worrying you right now, other than Donald Trump? I hate.
For
and
one,
he shouldn't be
for
here.
One
what contract.
For one, there's no guarantee that $50 million for public safety will be there. It says right now in the contract.
Let me look you in the eye and promise you right now, if that $50 million doesn't come to our table, I am against this convention.
Well, if we don't get that in the contract before Monday, you won't have a say.
We haven't seen the contract
exactly.
yet. They've explained it to us, though. Let me bring up a point
that Jim Morrill and Steve Harrison brought up in the pages of the Charlotte Observer earlier this month, that the Charlotte Regional Visitors Authority, the CRVA, approves a lot of different conventions of different sizes to come here that the city council never has a say on. Could they do this without your vote? Why do they need you?
We're not voting on the yarn and carpet convention coming up later this summer.
So what? Do they need you? Do they need you to say
something
yes?
of this if magnitude?
You, if you said
it would
no,
be,
could they bring it here anyway?
They could. I think they could, but it would be so hard. One, I think that would be such a smack in the face to the RNC that they would go somewhere else.
Well, why? Because Las Vegas doesn't want it either. It's a private concern that's putting together the Las Vegas. Yeah,
so
and the city doesn't want
we
it.
Have to
and
vote.
That puts us in this weird spot. We're at the altar right now. They have already weeded through almost a dozen other cities until now, and never heard this.
One of the reasons why we have to vote is because we have to play a role in this convention. We have to give city assets. We have to help do logistics for transportation, water, solid waste, policing, that we will have to give our assets to this process over the next 2 years.
Do you vote on whether or not the CIAA tournament is here?
Yeah, we would vote on a contract. We ultimately vote on contracts for those things.
All right. So Monday night, you're all meeting. You're going to vote. What exactly are you voting on?
So as it's been explained to us thus far, there is a contract between the city and the RNC host committee.
Which is a local group.
A local group comprised of several local leaders. Mm-hmm. That contract lays out the terms of what we will be doing, what they will be doing and on the hook for. And I can tell you for sure what we will be taking care of in that contract. As it's been explained to us many times, we just haven't had it fully written to read it. So my job is not to learn what's in the contract. It's to learn, did everything people told me line up in words?
Could that be changed?
We give guidance.
As you discussed this in the meeting on Monday, could you change
it? It will be difficult, but I would assume in an alternative between not doing it and not approving it and approving it, yeah, I bet someone's going
to
change it.
We're going to give guidance. We're voting on whether or not to give guidance to the manager to execute the contracts that are needed to carry out this convention.
That's right.
And when you have changes that go into contracts, what happens through consent items and agendas, again, it comes to the council and we vote on any change of potential change of contract.
So LaWanna Mayfield and Justin Harlow, fellow Democrats on council, have said they will vote no. Is that a firm no, in your opinion?
We'll have to see when the votes are counted.
I would imagine all of the Republicans, which would be you and Ed Driggs, Tarek, will vote yes.
You know, I'm still weighing my options, but yes.
So is there any possibility, because there are 11 people on council, is that right?
It's 11, yes.
Is there any possibility that this will be voted down? Any possibility.
You never know. But while I feel bullish, and I've said that numerous times, that we'll pass it, this is the one. What happened? There's so many unknowns. We got to go read the contract. What if somebody, everyone's told me, taxpayers are not on the hook for this. The host committee and then their insurance backstop and the $50 million government grant that comes in covers everything. What if I read it and see that that's not the case? So many things could happen there. I'm assuming we'll learn today if there's going to be some kind of public forum or something, and then we're going to hear from the community. So sometimes people get swayed by that at that point in time. Like I think the time for being swayed was probably earlier, but you never know. Man.
And Channel 9's Joe Bruno and Glenn Counts reported this week that their sources were telling them that the vote on Monday will be more about accepting federal money for security as opposed to voting the convention.
That's not correct.
Not correct.
No,
it's not going to boil down to it's the economy, stupid.
No. While that should probably be an angle that I'll be looking for in the contract, is what is the contingency should that money not come? This is the vote will, when we have it, whenever that occurs, will ultimately be about us signing a contract with the host committee or us giving the manager the authority to sign it. Should everything line up?
Your podcast co-host Larkin Eggleston
on R&D in the QC. It's found on iTunes and
very
other places.
Yes. I'm sure it's a top number one hit on iTunes. But he's still undecided about this. Dimple Ajmera seems to be on the fence, talking out of both sides of her mouth. She really hasn't come down one way or the other on this, but she seems to be reluctant, but sees the economic prospects of this. Where do you think they will go?
Again, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's best for us not to
speculate.
Speculate.
So
on
the country's horribly divided. Neither side can listen to the other, and in some cases, we can't stand the other side. So, what would it be helpful for a Democratic city to host the Republican National Convention?
Ding, 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 my friend.
Will this help the national?
Just to show
dialogue?
That we can reach across the aisle, and even though we don't agree,
how can Braxton Winston
very quickly?
Debate the way we do, passionately, and be buddies afterwards and work on it. Why can we not duplicate that on a national stage?
5 seconds.
Because Donald Trump is a hateful bigot.
Hey, got the last word. Braxton Winston, the Democrat, Tarek Vakari, the Republican on Charlotte City Council. The vote is Monday. Who is the Jesus Saves guy in Uptown? Are all the new apartments being built around Charlotte actually being filled? How can we know if rivers are clean enough for summer fun? Decide which question WFAE's FAQ City podcast should tackle by heading to WFAE.org. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to helping customers select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.